You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And yes, sometimes it takes a mountain, thereby gaze the vocal bend. My pastor is already on the line. So we're speaking about all things the second coming of Jesus. Ne? And today we're speaking about that thing that I don't get in the Bible. When I get to heaven, that is the first question I'm going to ask God. Why did you give us parables? Like, why couldn't you just speak in simple language that everyone could understand? But yeah, we are not there. So throughout the Testament, Jesus spoke in parables and teachings about his second coming and the end times. These parables and teachings emphasize several themes, including the need for faithfulness, preparation, and service. The reality of judgment and accountability, the importance of perseverance in the face of persecution, and the ultimate victory of God over evil and worldliness. Jesus' parables urge us to adopt behaviors that will oblige Christ to separate the chaff and perpetuate his holy society. And my pastor is already joining me on the line. Pastor Munga, how are you?
I'm extremely fine.
I know you, my Mfundisi, and you are ready today. I think this is your topic. When I see, you know, when I look at you, Mfundisi, I'm like, Mfundisi is the one that speaks in parables. This one.
Like my master.
I can tell that you and parables. So, Mfundisi, before we get into these parables and the teachings there, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Thank you. Shall we pray? Our Redeemer and our Savior, Jesus Christ, thank you that you are our friend, you are our King, you are our High Priest, you are Sustainer, you are everything to us. Even as we talk about your goodness, as we talk about your word this morning with your maidservant, Zanere, and our listeners out there, we are so thankful that your Holy Spirit is present to guide us, so that we'll be enriched and we'll be in a better position to receive you when you come the second time, which is soon. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, for as we started off, in case someone is listening to us and they're like, I think this whole conversation is going to be around parables, but what are parables? I don't know what parables are. You know, so how do we explain, my pastor, what a parable is to our listeners before we get into the nitty-gritties?
Thank you. In a simple way, we would say a parable is usually a fictitious short story that illustrates a moral attitude or a religious principle. It's a story that is usually like a fiction, mm-hmm. very short, but it illustrates a moral attitude or a religious principle. Mm. And I'm sure each and every language has got its own parables. Zulu yes. must have some parables in one way or the other, and that's it.
Okay. So, Mpundisi, we have been speaking about the second coming of Jesus, and we do know that we have parables as well as that, you know. So what was Jesus' intention in telling parables and teachings about his own second coming?
There are a number of reasons that why Jesus used the parables. Mm-hmm. I will just mention a few. One of them is to teach his disciples. With the use of objects in common use, parables served as teaching tools to help the disciples understand what he had to say to them. And they were easy to remember the objects they used as illustrations. For example, like when he said, a sower went to sow seeds, mm-hmm. or the whole community there knew who a sower was. And then that lesson, even after Jesus had taught them, when each of those people saw someone sowing, the teaching of Jesus came very clear and again very fresh in their mind. So they served as objects or parables as illustration. Mm-hmm. And the other reason is to understand, to prevent others. To prevent understand by others, so that others should not understand what you're saying. Mm. And that may be seem strange. Yeah, wherever Jesus was, his enemies were there. Mm-hmm. Those who did not love him, those who did not love his word. In other words, those who are not committed to his lordship. And what they were looking for? They were looking for a trap.
Okay.
We must trap him from what he says. Mm. And to avoid that, he used the parables to teach
mm.
so that they could understand what he's saying. This, but he has not spoken it directly.
Uh-huh.
If I came to a community, I say, but the birds who are in this place are this and that. People know that this person is saying birds, but he's actually talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
But they will not come directly to me because I've not mentioned them.
Yes.
So that was also one thing.
Mm.
The other thing, the last one I can mention also, it was a way of provoking thought,
mm-hmm.
provoking these people to think, to research. Mm. Remember, after speaking to with parables privately, the disciples went to him.
Yeah.
But what did you mean by this? It served as something to provoke your thinking.
Mm.
What is this person really talking about? He's saying something very important, but it is shrouded. It is hidden in this, so it is meant to dig deeper.
Mm.
So that you can get the meaning and not something just laid on the table like that.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
So in short, these are some of the reasons why Jesus used the parables. But mainly, it was to illustrate,
mm-hmm.
to give lessons that people would remember throughout generations. When they saw the objects that he used, they could remember those lessons afresh if they had forgotten them.
Mm-hmm. So, Mpundisi, we have multiple parables that are there in the Bible, right? But how do those particular themes of those particular parables, you know, tie in into the concept of the second coming? Do we have some that don't speak about the second coming at all? And do we have some that those parables, we know that they are speaking to the second coming of Jesus?
Yeah, when I was looking at the same parables,
mm.
as we find the most in Matthew chapter 13 and also Matthew chapter 25,
mm.
There are some threads that seem to be common in all of them.
Okay.
One of them is the aspect of stewardship.
Ah.
You have been entrusted with something,
mm.
and how you use it matters.
Mm.
The other concept that we find in parables is an aspect of partnership.
Okay.
Someone goes out, he leaves something with this person. When he comes back, they have to report. So mm. you have got an aspect of stewardship. You have got an aspect of partnership.
Mm.
You are doing this with someone
mm.
who will require a report, which we call accountability.
Mm.
That whatever you are doing, you must account at one time. And mm. you are accounting as an individual.
Mm.
And then there's also an aspect of faithfulness.
Mm.
Because the parables, they are talking about you as an individual and me as an individual.
Mm.
How faithful am I in the dark when no one sees me?
Mm.
And the other thread that we also, the other concept that we also find in the parable is that of judgment.
Okay.
There's an element of judgment that comes in all of them. Someone goes out, when he comes back, oh, because you have not done this, I'm going to do this.
Uh-huh.
And this is what we are, and even when you are talking about the second coming of Christ, it has to do with all those things.
Mm.
Accountability. At one time, the King of Kings will come, and you have to face him
mm.
as an individual.
Yeah.
You have to account about your faithfulness or mm-hmm. unfaithfulness. And then you must receive a reward. That's the beauty of the second coming of Christ. Everyone will receive a reward
mm.
depending on what you are doing.
Mm. Mm. When I was growing up, I never got the parable of the 10 virgins. Please, don't laugh now.
You know, I reserve my comments for that one. When you are growing up, just continue.
Please, okay. So I never understood the parable of the 10 virgins, you know. And as we go up, we grow up, we grow up, and then it comes into place. Because people use that parable to teach us certain things, you know. And I was like, So as we grow up, that's when now I got to learn how it's related, you know, to the second coming. But what does it emphasize, Mpundiswami, in terms of the second coming of Jesus, the parable of the 10 virgins?
Thank you. The 10 virgins in the first place, they are separated in two groups.
Okay.
They are the wise mm-hmm. and also the foolish ones.
Mm-hmm.
But we find a parallel between the two groups.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were virgins.
Okay.
If we talk about in terms of Christianity,
mm.
a virgin in the Bible is a pure church.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are pure. They have the pure gospel. They have the truth, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
All of them had lamps. All the lamps at first had oil.
Mm.
All the virgins slept, the wise and the foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Then the groom came at midnight unexpectedly. When they did not expect him, he came. They had all slept. So now it is time that showed the difference between the wise and the foolish ones. How was that difference shown? By the oil. Some had extra oil, others did not have extra oil. So one of the critical lessons that I learned from here, Sister Zane, and our listeners, that you cannot be a Christian on behalf of someone. If faith is personal, love for God is personal. I cannot love God on behalf of my wife. I cannot love God on behalf of my child. No. So when these say, no, can you give us some oil so that we can use for our lamps? They say, no. You go and get it. You had time to do this, but you did not do it. So that aspect, especially the aspect of the untimely coming of this, they are all waiting, and he comes at midnight, and then others are found ready, others are found not ready. And this relates exactly to us. We have the knowledge. If you talk about us Adventists, we have all the knowledge. We have all the prophecies at hand. But are we ready?
Hey.
The virgins slept, but the wise slept while ready with their lamps and extra oil. They were sleeping, but were ready. Am I ready? If Jesus came now,
hey,
will he find himself in my heart? Not in the church register, no, in my heart. Will he find himself there? So I find that in those 10 virgins, that parable, to be very critical, to be life and death. I can have all the knowledge. You can have all the knowledge. But what is that knowledge if you don't have the oil, if you don't have the Holy Spirit? Anyone can have that knowledge after all. Whoever can have access to books, internet, today, everyone can download it, everything about the Bible, this and that. But if the Holy Spirit is not there, then we are out of the game.
That question, Mpundisi, that you raised there, it's so much pertinent to last week. I remember I even asked a question. I was like, if the trumpets were to sound now, are you leaving? Or we are leaving you behind, you know, in a sense that it's very, very critical, Pastor, that, you know, we ask that. But then now when we get to this one, I tried to understand, you know, when I was young, please don't laugh again. When I was young, I tried to, I tried to get it.
I will laugh after the conversation.
The parable of the talents, you know, the parable of the talents. And earlier on when you were speaking, you did mention the issue of stewardship, right? But what is the importance of the parable of the talents in relation to the second coming of Jesus Christ?
Thank you. The talents, like the Bible says, someone was given 10, another one was given 5, another one was given, is it 1 or 2? And then this man, he goes out. What each one of them was given mathematically was 100%.
Okay.
The one who was given 10, that was 100%. The one who was given 5 and the third one, that was 100%. And when the master came back, he required for sure an accountability, a report from each one of them, meaning these people had partnered. We are going to do this, we are going to do this. And this, the Bible says, each one was given according to his capability, according to his capacity. So as you are there, Sister Zane, you have got your spiritual gifts.
Yes.
You have got your talents. The things that God has given you to use to further the gospel. He has also given you resources at the end of the month. At the end of a certain period, you have got something that comes into your bank account. How are you using that one? Some people would say, I used to sing when I was young, but now this and now that. No. What you are not using, a gift that you are not using, it will die out. But you will answer for it. Like the other, the man who said, no, because I knew that you were harsh, so I just buried this. So what you brought me, here it is. Look at how that person was condemned. So God has entrusted me with something, and what he has entrusted me, I needed to use it.
Yeah.
And the more I use it, the more it multiplies. The more I warn people about the second coming. Actually, I'm also warning myself. That means I also become alert. So the parable of the talents comes again to the same issues that we mentioned, the issue of ownership. You have been given something.
Yes.
The one who has given you is the owner. You are not the owner. The life that you have, Sister Zanet, is not yours. It's someone. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. How are you using that temple? What do you put in that temple of the Holy Spirit? How am I using the temple of the Holy Spirit? How are our listeners using it? Because this life is not mine. If it were mine, I could have known, okay, I'll die on this day. I'll do this on this day. But I do not know because it does not belong to me. But how am I using the time? How am I using the time? In the African side, usually I've got a challenge when it comes to issues of time management.
Don't go there for this.
Let me spare you.
Okay. Okay, let's be serious again. Parables.
Yes.
Yes, Mpundis. So, Mpundis, you know, I'm really appreciative how, you know, we're explaining some of these parables and what they mean, because they do dribble as Mpundis. You know, you read it, you're like, it means this. Can't you know? It's actually, it does tie in into the second coming of Jesus. And now, Mpundis, when we open our Bibles in the book of Matthew chapters 24, verses 1 to 14, it's been titled, well, I'm using the NIV. It says here, the title of it, The Signs of the End of the age, you know. So what are the specific signs in the end of the age described by Jesus in this particular chapter of the Bible?
In summary, we have got the Christ, that the warning that he gave, that there will be false Christs, meaning people who come in the name of Christ. And we have heard a lot of these in Kenya. At one time, someone came, so Jesus has come and this man is walking. All those, and we hear them popping up from one place to another place, false Christs. Then there's also an aspect of wars and rumors of war, like we mentioned on the first day, yesterday. Three quarters of the earth is covered by water. The part that is not covered by water is covered by war. Everywhere there's war. People are fighting. And there seem to be no end to this fighting. Talk about tribulation or persecution. I tell you, look at how Christians are suffering in the Muslim countries. You get this person, how this person is beaten until this person dies. Just maybe a time just for being found with a Bible or so. The persecution that is going, Christ talked about it. Talk about the strife. He talked about betrayal, hate. It's amazing. When you look at the persecution, you are looking into someone's face. That person is looking at you. And then you get a machete, you get an axe, and you cut the head of that person. It's a lot. No wonder the Bible says, the love of men will grow cold. And at times you find this is a family member. It's the family members who are doing this to their brother or to their sister. Talk about false prophets. Today, I've got a prophet, people who are prophesizing in the Africa Cup of Nations. You have the prophets for food. Everything now, we have prophets everywhere. False prophets. Then you talk about lawlessness. Governments are spending a lot of money to maintain law and order. Because lawlessness seems just to increase. And these are the things that Christ mentioned. And the final part that we mentioned there, it says, and this gospel will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. What is more fearful there is the gospel being preached to all the world as a witness. Not that everyone will accept, but as a witness. No one will say, I was not taught. And even our listeners who are getting us there, this is also an opportunity. No one will say, I was not told. We are talking about it now.
Yeah, it's a lot of Pundiswami. This one, I have never really paid attention to it, I think. Or maybe it runs away from my mind, but I know my pastor. Ha! He will help me with this one, Pundis. The parable of the wheat and the tares. Hey, I think I said it correctly. And the tares. What does it tell us,
Pundiswami? We are not English. Ah!
Pundis, yeah, I'm not English. What does it emphasize?
Yeah, Zulu.
What does it emphasize, Pastor Wami? As I listen to the pronunciation the pastor will give us. The wheat and the what, Mfundisi?
Okay. I'll say it closer to my language, the tears.
Okay. All right, Mfundisi, Wami, the tears. So what does it emphasize, my pastor, when it comes to the second coming of Jesus Christ?
Thank you so much. At the end of that parable in Matthew chapter 13, when this man sowed, it was common in the ancient Near East that if Zanera was my enemy and you planted some wheat or some maize, like what is common here, you planted your maize, then at night I go with the seeds of wheat, tares actually are wheat, if you have to, so that we don't bite our tongues.
You know?
I can go with a sack of weed seeds, and I plant them. And then they will grow together. They will grow together. And like these people say, but what happened? You planted the right crop, but this is what has happened. Mm. And then he says, an enemy has done that.
Mm.
And he says, no. Let's pull these weeds. He said, no. Let's both grow together until the harvest. When he will come and reap. In the first place, if we were to allowed to go and pull, I have done farming, I'm still doing it. If you plant maize and you plant, at times you are trying to pull this weed out, you find even the maize comes out.
Yes.
Both are destroyed. So that means it refrains us from judging others in the first place. I wouldn't say that these people are going to heaven. These are not going to heaven. So this is a matter of waste of time for me to do what? To attend to them. Like you came to a church. Okay, those who are righteous, they come this side. Those who are not righteous, they come this side. In my village in those days, in the 70s, when there was a meeting at church, like a Sabbath, then an announcement would be given to say, to mean all the baptized members to remain. Now they would not say the baptized members, but they would say all the righteous people in this church to remain. So now when you say it in a local language, it's more deep. In other words, you are saying, so when people are walking out, you are saying those are unusual to characterize those people with the three wives, two wives, those people are not yet baptized. But God says, no, let them grow together.
Yeah.
Like he spoke to Samuel. Remember when he went to anoint David?
Mm-hmm.
He says, man looks at the outward. But God looks at the heart.
Yes.
Even the most unlikely person, the most unlikely drunkard, may turn his life or her life to Jesus Christ. So we can't rule them. We can't rule them out. Last year, when we were concluding the year in our campaigns, one lady came. Just after the service, there's someone said, no, I have something to say. I almost stopped them. Then I said, no, let me watch. So they brought this lady. This lady, she was in alcohol, drinking, and she was knocked over by a car. And she just woke up in a hospital. So as she gained conscious and recovered, she said, no, from here, take me to church. Okay. I want to be baptized. And she's one of our members. Amen. But she had left home. She was living in the streets. Today, she's back home.
Hey.
So it warns us. Each and every human being is a potential candidate for heaven. Let them grow together. It will be God who sort them out at the end of the day. Ours to do the part, to sow the seed. We are not soil experts. We sow the seed and sow the seed. We broadcast. That is our part. And judgment belongs to God. It also teaches us to be patient. We need to be patient with one another. I don't have to judge others by myself,
yes,
that I've been in the church now for some time. Then even someone who joined last week, I expect them to behave the way I expect them to behave the way I behave or they will conduct myself. No. Let us be patient with each other as members of the church or members of Christ's body.
And that patience, Mpundiswami, that you are saying, you know, it's very, very important and critical, because when people come into the church, we forget to even take them through the processes. We expect that they know, you know, and we are not even patient with them to say, no, Mzalwane, this is how we do things, or this is how things are supposed to be done. But hi, we expect everyone, Mpundiswami, to know everything there. But nonetheless, Pastor, as we go towards the end there, we are still in the book of Matthew there, 25. Yeah, as I open my Bible, you see, you can hear it, Fundisne. I have my Bible open.
I can hear it, yes.
Matthew 25, verses 31.
I hope it's not good news.
Fundis Mara, what's wrong with the good news?
I thought it was that New Testament.
Fundis Mara. Pastor, as I come back. I can't with Pastor Munga, my listeners share. Okay, so let's just note, Pastor, what can be the derived from the final judgment account in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, as it relates to the second coming of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, we have got an account of people who are surprised. Mm-hmm. The lost are surprised. The saved are surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Christ talks about the two groups. We have got one group where he says, I was a stranger, you helped me, I had no food, you gave me food, mm-hmm. I had no clothing, you gave me. And he said, no, when did we see you doing these things?
Yeah.
No. Those people that you were helping, actually, it's me whom we are helping.
Mm.
The flip side is also the case. Mm. Those who are not saved also say, no. We did this, we did this. When did we see you in prison? When did we see you naked? When did we see you without this? When did we see you without this? And they say, no, in those same people that you did not help, it's me whom did you not help. And no wonder as we close, I can also draw your attention to James 1, verse 27, which talks about pure religion.
Okay.
And undefiled before God and the Father is this, to feast the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Mm.
What are we saying? The way we treat others around us is the way we would treat Jesus Christ if he were personally there.
Mm.
Sister Zaneli and our listeners, talk about those people who are irritating. You are driving and they are coming, they are begging with hands. No, I'm asking for this. Are they not irritating?
They, a little bit.
Yeah. No. Be honest to yourself and to our listeners. They are irritating.
Yeah.
But those are the ones Jesus says that it's me who was asking from you.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says the poor will not cease in your midst.
Mm.
They are there as a barometer. They are there as a thermometer. Mm. If you have accepted Christ, if you have got a heart of flesh, a heart that has got feelings, what did you think about this person who is sleeping in the cold when you go in your blankets? Well, and this person, when you give that person an orange or a loaf of bread, that may be a meal. Maybe they have never had a meal for 2 days, and it will make a very big difference. So the way we treat people around us is the way we would treat Jesus Christ if he were personally with us.
Mm.
Which brings a lot of shivers and fears in me when I see these beggars around. And they seem to be increasing every day.
Hey! You are right.
Those people who are in prison. Those people who are in hospital.
Ish. Yeah, ne. And Mpundiswami, as we close, ne, there are quite a number of parables that we find in the Bible. I know that all of them are important. All of them are important that I know. But Pastor, if there is one listener who is listening to us, like, I'm hearing the virgins, you know, the weeds and the the talents, but what is that one parable about the second coming that no matter what happens, I must not forget?
I would suggest the parable of the 10 virgins.
Okay.
it needs, I think, a little no explanation, where these people are waiting. Others are wise, others are not wise. And the difference that we mentioned as we began was others took the extra oil. A lamp that is burning, it uses oil, and the oil needs to be replenished. Your faith, Sister Zana, is supposed to grow. Yeah. My faith is supposed to grow every day. That's why today, if you spoke, when Job was afflicted, when he had this problem and that problem, he says, I guess the day that I was born, God has given and God has taken. To Job, it was not sin. If you say it yourself today, you use the words that Job said, you will be committing sin, I will be committing sin. Because what Job did not know, you know now. And I know now. So we need to grow every day as Christians. Our love for Christ needs to grow each and every day. How is that possible? By the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We read the other day, Ephesians 5, verse 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Avail yourself to be filled by the Holy Spirit each and every day so that you can see things the way God sees them. You can respond to situations around you the way Jesus would respond if he were in your place.
We have heard, even the Bible does say that those who have ear, let them hear. Even the chicken is agreeing there in the background, Pastor, that me and the listeners have heard.
Yes.
Please pray for us.
Thank you. Let us pray. Our Lord and our Savior, how exciting it is for us to be in your presence. It's a joy that we can laugh. Because we are before our Father, a Father who is loving, a Father who is kind. How we pray, Lord, that you may put a smile each and every child of yours who was listening to this conversation and those who will listen afterwards. Prepare us to meet you when you come the second time, which is soon. Remind us each and every day the things of this world, they will pass away. Bless your maid servant, Sister Zaneri. I know you have blessed her before. We pray for additional blessings. All those who are dear to her heart, bless them. Bless your children, your servants, and maidservants who are working there at the Adventist World Radio SID Media. Bless them, Lord, and bless their families. We remember the global community of the Adventist world and your children who are not even members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Bless them. Prepare us to meet you. We long for that day when the clouds of glory, when the eastern sky will break and we shall say, here is the Jesus we have waited for. On our own, we can't do it. But with your spirit guiding us each and every day, we'll make it. And we know by faith we have already made it because you did it for us already. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. Till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you. You're most welcome. And our listeners...
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.